last October. We were at man camp having a blast, a bunch of men up at camp. And the Friday night, or maybe it was Saturday night, I got up and I shared one verse. I said, I want to talk about this verse right here. And it was a hard hitting verse.
Yeah, that was a great message. I remember it very well.
And that verse is in this chapter. Mm. We're going to look at it and it might wake some of us up today.
You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And Junior, you want to get started in verse one? We got 25 verses on this chapter.
You having me read verse one because of
I think it'd be good for you to know what this says here.
All right. Never speak harshly to an older man.
what were you saying by that? You think I'm an older man?
Oh, of course not. You're such a youngin'. Never speak harshly.
Yeah, like a young man would say youngin'.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think you may be an older soul than me in some ways.
In some ways, it's true. Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother. Treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters.
You know, I wonder how well that speaks to some of the flirtatious guys who are fairly disrespectful in the way they talk about the women in their office, or even those who look at porn. If they consider this passage right here, that you're to treat the younger women as their own sisters.
Yeah. Just take care of any widow who has no else to care for her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Now, a true widow, a woman who is truly alone in this world, has placed her hope in God. She prays night and day, asking God for his help. But the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead even while she lives. Give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticism.
You know, what we can pull from that as well is it's not just for the young widow who's living for pleasure, but anybody who is living for pleasure, they're spiritually dead while they live. And it's not that pleasure is necessarily a bad thing, but when you live for it, when that becomes your goal, it's something that we have said quite a bit here at the Bridge, and that is happiness is something that is farmed, and it's not something that if it's your goal, you're going to wind it. It'll be elusive. You won't be able to find it. Yeah. So even when it comes to pleasure, that you can enjoy some instant gratification in the short term, but in the end, that's going to create a lot of unhappiness.
Yeah.
And the worst part of that is as you're pursuing temporal pleasure, you're going to miss out on the spiritual life, which is what's going to matter most.
Right. This next verse is the verse that I read up at Man Camp. I'm going to give the ESV spin on it, though, Dad.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the ESV, I think, is a little bit more accurate when it comes to just what Paul is saying here.
Yeah,
verse
absolutely.
8, it says, but those who won't provide for their relatives, especially those in their own household, they have denied the faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Provide. So, and this is what we talked about at Man Camp. It's like, hey, man, if you're not providing spiritually for your family, if you're not providing financially, and that is if you can, you know, I know there's such thing as true disability, though I think sometimes that's often abused.
I mean, most immediately think that this verse is talking about financial provision. It's not that it's discounting that.
That's a low
financial provision, but yeah, that's really the easiest of any of these provisions. Yeah. But he was talking holistically. Yeah. He was talking about far more than just putting food
on
the table.
It's a piece of the pie. We're talking about financial, yes, but we're also talking about vision, and we're talking about discipline. Those who do not provide that for their own roof have denied the true faith. And that's a hard-hitting verse.
Yeah, it is.
A widow.
Such people are worse than unbelievers. I mean, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's sobering. A widow who is put on the list for support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and was faithful to her husband.
So does that mean 60 is the definition of old?
I guess so.
Wow.
That's how old you had to be to go on this list, apparently, at this church.
That's a little offensive, Paul. Man, I wonder how old Paul was when he said that.
She must be, well, it's only offensive if you're over 60, I guess. She must be well-respected by everyone because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those who are in trouble? She always been ready to do good. Now, this is really interesting, Dad, because, you know, we get requests all the time. You know, I was just part of a meeting for a request in the church for financial help. Mm-hmm. And I always feel bad, but, you know, to be wise, we have to kind of go through a list of things because people take advantage of churches all the time.
Yeah.
And so we have to go like, you know, who is this person? Do they actually need help? And, you know, are they attending right. here? Is there accountability yeah. with all this? And this is what Paul is saying here is like, don't just put people on a list and just give them money. There should be some qualifications for receiving something from the church.
Yeah, and the indication here is that that kind of help was for those who were in the church and that they were serving faithfully. This also seemed to be an actual role where they were also minister. They would do some things in the church and that they were being paid on a regular basis because they had no other support for themselves. So it's quite an interesting, you know, of course, in that day, there was nothing. If a woman lost her husband and if she was not able to remarry, and if she was old enough to where her parents were already gone or her father was already gone, I mean, she had no means of support
yeah.
because they just didn't, women didn't have the opportunities yeah. then as they do
today.
This is
where slavery would be an option, prostitution.
Prostitution really was a big options. One, but for, and then again, more so even than for the younger widows, which I wonder if that's not partly what he's talking about when he says the younger yeah. widows who are living for pleasure. But for the older widows, I mean, they just didn't have options and begging was about it.
Yeah. He says the younger widows should not be on the list because their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ and they will want to remarry. Then they would be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. And if they are on the list, they will learn to be lazy and will spend their time gossiping from house to house. Wow. That seems a little sexist, yeah. but we'll just...
Well, not just for... Yeah. Well, also a little ageism there, though. Yeah. Well, if they're young, then they're probably going to turn into
gossiping from house to house.
I don't know. I've seen that as much of a problem with older women as with young... And honestly, you know, as a guy, I've been around enough guy gossips that I know it wasn't just a problem for women.
Yeah. She says, meddling in other people's business and talking about things they shouldn't. Hmm. Let me just take it, verse 14.
Yeah, so I advise these younger widows to marry again, to have children, take care of their own homes. Thus, the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. And truthfully, there is not a higher value, and this is politically incorrect, but I really don't think there's a higher value for us. And I say this to young men all the time. Guys, find a good woman, marry her, devote your life to enjoying the family that God blesses you with. And I say the same thing to women, that I know we're in a culture today where we're so, man, I mean, marriage is being put off to the, it ought to be put off to where we're really making sure that this is a serious decision, that this is a big deal. But I think it's getting put off to the place where it's just a fear of making commitments. And so he's saying the best thing you could do if you're a young woman and you're still of marrying age, the best thing you could do with your life is to marry again, raise kids. Yeah. And truthfully, there's nothing that produces more joy within people than to have family.
And I don't mind our culture going that direction with just like waiting forever, not having kids, because it's like, I mean, you guys are way too mature to have kids. But the church should be different.
We should be getting married and making
babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you find the right mate.
Yep. Christians. I wish Christians would have more kids.
Yeah. Don't look at me. Three is fine. Three is a good number.
All right. You reading or am I?
You are.
Where am I at? Maybe you could help me here.
Verse
15. Lost my place thinking about how my son should have had more kids. Verse 15. Okay. For I am afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. If a woman who is a believer has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church can care for the widows who are truly alone. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox or to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. In another place, those who work deserve their pay. So Paul was one who worked a secular job making tents and didn't ask for any support, but he was really big on this with Timothy, who was a pastor, saying that, and I know there are some churches, they just believe in just the laity running everything, but the scripture is pretty clear that in order for ministry to be done well, that there should be those who devote their lives to leading it. Verse 19, do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others, which I think is good for us, Junior, to know that that should be the case. I solemnly command
you. Well, that's what we're actually going to start doing on our podcast instead of doing National
calling,
Day.
Yeah,
okay. We're just going to start naming people that have been
sinning.
All
right, we'll do that. We'll make sure they're listeners first, though. I solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the highest angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing favoritism to anyone. In other words, that you're the one that you're representing God to the people and not the other way around. And so you focus first on doing what he wants and saying what he wants us to say. Never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not
share. I love that. Yeah. I love that Paul says that to Timothy, because I think there's been times, Dad, you know, I've been seeing you. I'm not saying you were in a hurry, but you've appointed a church leader and that ended up really hurting.
Yep. I have. Yep. I've
maybe
done
the most.
Absolutely.
When they weren't ready.
Yeah. I would say the best decisions I've made have been in choosing leaders, and the worst decisions I've have made have been in choosing leaders. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, because you are so sick so often. Poor Timothy. Remember, the sins of some people are obvious. This is interesting. I got to have this yellowed in, actually, on my iPad version here. Remember, the sins of some people are obvious, leading them to certain judgment, but there are others whose sins will not be revealed until later. So sometimes I think that we have to be careful about judging others with condemnation, but also judging anybody in that sense. We just let God take care of who is who and who's doing what. And let's just stay focused ourselves on doing what God wants us to do. In the same way, the good deeds of some people are obvious, and the good deeds done in secret will someday come to light, which is a great blessing.
Well, it's sometimes it goes hand in hand, Dad, because some of us see people sin, and then we start gossiping about it, and then we start slandering about it, and we almost feel like somehow we're in the right. And I think this Paul's just saying, like, hey, just wait, that sin will come out too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what about your sin? Exactly right. All right, so let's get over to our Proverbs. We're in Proverbs 23. And so the proverb for today is verse 17 says, don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. Truth is, it's pretty easy for us to see other people and wonder, well, how come they got so good and they have no interest in following God and I'm trying to do the right thing? And he says, listen, you just keep fearing God and don't worry about what is happening to other people, because I'm going to take care of things in the end. It's all going to come out in the wash. You just keep focused on doing the right thing and don't be looking at people who are doing the wrong thing and they seem to have life good, because it's going to turn around in every way. Yeah. So well, good. What day is it today?
You'll love this. It's National School Bus Driver Appreciation Day.
Yeah, well, I used to be one of those.
You did until, didn't you get fired?
No. No,
I thought like there was a kid that kept on standing up on the bus and then you hit your brakes after a while.
I didn't get fired. I didn't get caught.
Oh, okay. I thought you got fired for that.
I think he told his parents, but I think his parents backed me up, even though, you know, I should have gotten fired. Yeah, he kept standing up on the bus. And I hate to even tell you this, admit it. I was young and foolish, but it kept making me mad. I kept telling him, sit down until I stop. So he stood up and I hit the brakes and he went running all the way to the front of the bus, right up into the, you know, not through the windshield. That would have been.
But those were the days when people respected their authority more. So I have no problem. I wouldn't be embarrassed about it at all, personally.
Some people listening to this are thinking, I can't imagine Pastor Scott doing that. And there are others thinking, oh, yeah, I can. Yeah.
I can.
National School Bus. You can. Yeah, you can. National School Bus Driver's Day.
That's right. So if your kids take the school bus, I don't know, give them a little blessing today. Make it a good day.
God bless. Tomorrow.